Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the saddha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, we also pay respect to all the Buddha and the great being of the Mahayana tradition. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Yaosifo. Namo Yaosifo. Namo Yaosifo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Vensu Pusa. Namo Vensu Pusa. Namo Vensu Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Okay, we pay respect. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, now turn to page 14 of the retreat chanting book. So we will chant the evening chanting. Okay. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. The teaching, so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The Blessed One's disciples, who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha. A good word of the blessed one's reputation has spread as follows. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, the perfectly enlightened one, endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished one, the knower of the world, the incomparable master or guide of those to be trained, teacher of God and man, the enlightened one, the blessed one. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha.
The Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conquerors, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and guide. The Buddha is sorrow's destroyer, who bestows blessings on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate this body
and life, and in devotion,
I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge.
By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way.
By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome.
By body, speech, or mind,
for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha.
Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One,
can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nirvana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma.
It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and truths, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revere the excellent teaching that which removes darkness. The Dhamma, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the second object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma's servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and guide. The Dhamma is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way.
By this devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice,
by his power, may all obstacles be overcome.
Power.
By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma.
Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha.
Of good conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One disciples, namely the four pairs of persons, the eight types of individuals, is worthy of offerings, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gifts, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incomparable field of merit to the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha.
Born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtues, I revere that assembly of noble beings perfected in purity. The Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and guide. The Sangha is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me, there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha and the blessing of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome.
My body,
speech, or mind, for whatever wrong actions I have committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha.
Okay, the closing homage, we will chant in Pali. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasanggo Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, so we are still early. Eh? Okay, we can have our 30 minutes of sitting meditation to stabilize our mindfulness and samadhi. Yeah? So I will set the alarm. So try it out. Eh? Remember the awareness-based meditation. Try your very best to develop it. You can use, like just now, what Peng Fei, try. He can use the mind sweeping method, eh? Then radiate metta, then radiate a radiant smile, then relax, follow the four support. The first three is very important. Relax, then maintain awareness. This awareness is your true mind, your true awareness nature within. So when you are with that, technically, I say technically, well, the thought should not arise. So if you can do that, you will stabilize it and progress accordingly. Okay? So we are off the light. Let us off the light. Thank you. Then those who have not tried the lying down meditation, you want to try, you can. It is relatively not so like difficult compared to sitting, especially if you have developed certain advanced age. For people who have hit 60 and above, I think it's not easy for you all to sit in the cross-legged posture. So you can either lean against a wall and relax and silence your mind, or sit on a stool or any of the bench back there, or you can lie down if you have cushion. When you lie down to relax, the only difference between sleeping and meditation is when you lie down to relax, don't fall asleep, that's it. Maintain awareness. Then find out like what Peng Fei did. The first time he snore, he picked it up. Means the awareness is there, where you determine to be aware. Then the awareness is there. Then when you pick it up, you maintain awareness again. Then later on, unless you retire, you will fall into the sleep. Or we call it the subconscious or the unconscious. Then later on, when you become aware again after you rest enough, you can maintain awareness again. So initially, don't worry about your snoring or sleeping or what. Just try it out. You will find it more relaxed and more easy to develop the awareness within. Because you don't have to do anything. Technically, like the Buddha said, relax, maintain awareness, and be with whatever mind state that arises. Any other sense experience that come to you, aware, finish. Then just silent. Thought arise, let it be. Let it be means don't resist, don't fight, don't create any aversion towards it. Understand? Even if it's restless or it still continue to think a lot of what, just relax into it. Accept it. Come to term with it, means be with it. It's like your good friend, asana. The awareness and that thinking or thought activity as one. So when you don't give it any more energy, when you can accept it, no reaction, no stirring of the mind, then like Krishnamurti say, the very flowering of all those conditioned arising thought process will bring about the flowering to end it. Then you will see it slow down and finally cease. Then you become very quiet. Then you start to become sensitive. Then you realize a lot of vibration within your body and the mat that you lie on or even the pillow, you start to detect them. And that is good progress. That is good sign. It's mindfulness has developed. You are less towards the thinking. You are more sensitive on the tactile already. And that is the beginning. Okay? So try it. Yeah? Today is only the second day. Huh? You can do it by the third or fourth day. It's very good. Okay, I will set the alarm now. Okay, so a very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now we continue our day 2 evening session. We will continue to share from the Heart Sutta book. Who wants to do it? Good, Manjan. So now the connection, is it okay, the mic? Good. Page 65. Yeah. Oh, 64. Sorry. Yeah, 64. Sorry.
11 Heart Sutra Class, Part 1, Recapitulation and Emphasis on the Previous Lesson. 1.1, True Suchness or Ruru Putong. Our true mind or essence of mind is always there. True suchness or ruru putong in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati, and you cannot try to be mindful because the trying and the practicing or noting and doing etc. are always by the thought. If one does not understand this true principle of the true mind, i.e. the essence of mind is already there, and we don't have to do anything to be mindful, because the moment you are silent with inner awareness, you are already naturally mindful and heedful, and you will be able to see things as they are naturally, to understand the truth and the reality arising within the moment. For if we do not stir the mind or cause it to arise the thinking via our heedlessness or conditionings born of wrong views, then our mind will be quiet and silent without thought. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is the natural state of silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine forth from the nature within, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within your nature or essence of mind, or You are lost in thought and is preoccupied with your activities of mind or thinking and reacting, etc. Just like the analogy of the sun is always there and its rays ever shining. But when the clouds are there, its rays cannot shine through. So, similarly, your thoughts, your various emotions and reactions or steering of the mind are like clouds obscuring your true nature or true mind from shining forth, hence your inability to see things as they are, via the direct seeing with your silent true mind. According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination as taught by the Buddha, the first three links are avijja, panchaya, panchaya sankara, then sankara, panchaya, vinayan,
pachya, vinayan,
i.e. dependent on ignorance, arises sankara or mental thinking or activities. Then,
I think this topic is very important. I will go through one more time for you all. If you can understand this, you will understand your true mind, your true nature. Then you know how to meditate. And you will know how to apply this understanding to help you stabilize your awareness nature. Okay, I read again. True suchness, or ru putong. So, in Mahayana teaching, you heard a lot about this word, zu putong. What is zu? Zu lai fo. Means the Buddha, which is suchness, or tatata, the tatagata. So, true suchness is ru putong. Why is it called suchness? But it's a nature, awareness nature. Our true nature, pure. And this one doesn't move like what Hui Ning came to realize. He told the fifth patriarch, how amazing that this nature of ours is already perfect. And all Dhamma arise from there. Then this Dhamma is unmoving. That's why zu putong, no stirring, no movement, nothing. It's just the awareness nature. It's like the sun. It just shine forth, finish. Then whether you know how to tap that sun's ray or energy and use it, or you allow it to be obscure and go to waste, it's up to you. When there is no sun or no awareness nature, it's like you are in darkness. You don't have the sensitivity to be aware, and you cannot see things as they are. And without that nature, you cannot actually develop understanding of the teaching. Because this is the nature that is the basis for awareness, leading to heedfulness. So like the Buddha explained under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So you cannot be aware and you cannot develop it until it becomes heedful, then you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance to realize the enlightenment. Then spiritually, you are as if dead. So after understanding this true nature of ours, which is zu ru putong, true suchness, our true mind or essence of mind is always there. Where that nature is true suchness, ru ru putong in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati. The reason being, the trying and the doing, or the practicing, we are noting, doing, etc., are always by the thought. So when thought is active, how can you be aware? We already explained. We already developed the analogy for you to understand. From the four circle formation, the first one to arise is our original nature, the true nature. Then the first thing to move out of it is the pure awareness nature. And this pure awareness nature is inherent in all living beings that has been born, karmically conditional. So if it's inherent, means all living beings, not only human beings. That's why the moment we are born, there is this awareness nature within us already. Well, that is the first to come up from that source. But to return, you need to develop wisdom from this one. Then the wisdom enable the mundane mind to realize itself and cease and return to this pure awareness nature. Then this one, after you have developed the wisdom, then it can cease. Otherwise, it won't cease. But the pure awareness nature is a nature for the arising of the phenomenal world, the mundane mind, the creation, everything that arises within the existential world, the dependent originating world, or we call it the conditioned world of conditioned Dhamma. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. That's why the Buddha teach the law of dependent origination, paticca sammuppada. That is how we function as a human being, how our mind, our citta manifests and function. They follow this link. Without avijja, there is no movement. That's why Poyen Zhanglao, the abbot of Wu Ping Jingse, he is very wise. He said, Qi Xing Dong Nian. When you arise, the mundane mind, thought arise, thinking arise, heedlessness arise, unless you have the wisdom, enlightenment. Then the other mind, which is without anything, that is your true mind. Wu Nian 就是真心, means the other mind that is without thought before it create the condition arising thinking mind or the mundane mind. That is your true mind. Because they meditate, they develop the understanding through coming into contact with that true mind. And they realize it because that mind has a very unique quality. It is unmoving. Zu ru pu dong. That it is, you can only describe the characteristic of it. It is tranquil, still. Maybe you can say peaceful. But no activity there. Nothing. No movement. So all these are the words that the enlightened being or the sutta try to use word to explain something that is beyond word. Well, that nature is the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. You have to realize it to understand it. So hopefully with this explanation now I read, you will understand. Our true mind or the essence of mind is always there. Remember that. Because that is the primordial. That is inherently already there. The first to come out since the beginning of time. So that's why if you want to access that nature, you need a vehicle and a tool to come in the form of a karmically conditioned form of mind. That is the vehicle and the tool. And without that, you cannot locate the gateway. You cannot locate that nature. But there is the creation part, the connection back. So all physical things in this universe that doesn't have that connection with the karmic nature, they cannot come to this existential world. They can only arise through the mind process. The form and mind is the first to arise. And when the form and mind arise, energy comes to be. That's why if you come to understand physics, science, what is matter? Matter is trapped energy. You understand? That's why Einstein realized the formula E equals to mc squared. E is energy equals to the mass of that matter times c squared. C is the speed of light. And that figure is very huge. That's why it can release a lot of energy. That's how nuclear capability or nuclear bomb can come to be. So this is what scientists has realized. So trapped energy is what matter is all about. So if the beginning of thought, like the Buddha said, don't try to understand creation, is it? Inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned living being to fall through the karmic process until what they are now. So that one, unless you are the Sammāsambuddha, is inconceivable. So what happened is the Surangama Sutta described this. He said, initially, there was nothing. There was just that nature. Yeah. Then how did the first thought of ignorance arise? They call it the, what they call, primordial mind. Means the original mind. That one somehow, through nature's condition, is yet entangle and stir, then it conditions something out. We call it the first thought of ignorance. That's why the Buddha said inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought that conditions living being into what it is. And from that first thought, which is very, very primitive, very elementary, it becomes more and more sophisticated, until it develops energy. Then it takes form. That's why the five aggregate come to be. Then through the karmic process, it creates further. Then in the Surangama Sutta, he say the initial first thought that is being conditioned, that one become the knower. Understand? Not? The knower become the traveler in space and time. That is how the egoic mind arises. And from that ego, it solidifies, it crystallizes into matter, form and mind. Initially, translucent and all those things. Then it becomes more and more dense. That's how human being, living being. Then later on, all the planets, everything, the universe, you know, all these are energy. Even the scientists come up with all the theory or some are hypotheses of the beginning of time. They always postulate very lightly now. The most popularly accepted is the Big Bang. Understand now? Everything started with the Big Bang. We are now through the, not only the Hubble telescope, now they got the white, what is the name of the latest telescope? White one. WEBB. Weber. What? Anyway, that is the latest one. That can see a lot further. And they can see the beginning of time. Means the universe when it happened at the very beginning. Of course, they say at the very beginning also, maybe a few hundred light years away. Understand? Or after the Big Bang, they say. Because all the images that they receive actually can match what they understand based on the hypothesis that they have. If it's an expanding universe, yeah, this thing will happen. And because light takes a long time to travel, you remember? If it's one light year, you know how far is that distance or not? The speed of light is 168,000 miles per second. How fast is that? Very fast. But if that speed of light travel for 1 year, it's only 1 light year. No? And that is already very far. No? But the one that they can see, 16.5 billion light years. No? That's why they say the universe is still expanding, unending, and very vast. They cannot understand. Yeah. Then there are a lot of very fantastic, what they call data that they receive. They see all this black hole. They say black hole is no more a hypothesis. It's already proven it exists. Then how galaxy collide? Do you know in our Milky Way alone, our this so-called Milky Way, it's not a universe yet. No? You know how many sun is there? No? 400 billion sun inside the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is just a small part of the entire universe. No? That's why that immensity you cannot understand. No? Unless you go into this awareness nature to develop all this understanding. So the Buddha's wisdom, the Mahayana teaching, is not what people can fathom or understand the extensiveness of its understanding. And during the Buddha's time, 2,600 years ago, do you know they asked him a question? All these stars up there, what are they? And the Buddha's answer was what? He said, the number of stars up there is more than all the sand of the Ganges River. You know the Ganges River, how long or not? And all the sand there, each every sand is a star or a potential sun. Then how did he know? Do you understand? So that shows you that the wisdom of the Buddha is not like most what they call religion, that come out with their religion, then when scientists discover something, the religious book break down, cannot stand up to that investigative. That's why Einstein quoted this and he mentioned. He said of all the religion he looked at, the only religion that can stand up to the progress of science is Buddhism, he said, what the Buddha has realized. So this is not to glorify Buddhism, but to explain to you why that nature is very unique and very special. Understand? And what the Buddha is trying to teach us, this awareness-based meditation or sati, is to lead you back to that, to understand that. And you all still don't really fathom or understand how unique that teaching is, how immense the understanding of that teaching is. So don't think that it's just awareness-based meditation or sati. This is the one that link you back, understand, to the source, to comprehend all this, the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. Okay? So now I read on. Our true mind, or the essence of mind, is always there. True suchness, or ruru putong, in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati or awareness. You cannot try to be mindful because the trying and the practicing or noting and doing, etc., is always by the thought. And what is thought? The product from that nature, understand? Because it arises through causes and conditions and manifests into the existential world. So when there is thought, you are already not the awareness nature already. Do you understand? That's why thought-based meditation cannot realize a state that is beyond thought. The one that is beyond thought is the awareness nature. So if you understand this, then if one does not understand this true principle of the true mind, that is the essence of mind is already there, And we don't have to do anything to be mindful, because the moment you are silent and without thought, with the inner awareness, you are already naturally aware, mindful, and heedful. And you will be able to see things as they are naturally, because that one is capable of direct seeing. That one, no thought, no concept. It's seeing as it is, no word on. Yeah. So seeing things as they are naturally to understand the truth and the reality arising within the moment. That's why if you are not completely aware, silent, you cannot develop awareness to understand, to comprehend, or to pay attention to. So whenever thought arises, you are lost in thought, preoccupied in your thinking, stirring, emotion. Then how can you pay attention? How can you be aware? Understand that. For if we do not stir the mind, means create the manifestation of the thinking, the mundane mind, or cause it to arise the thinking via our heedlessness or conditioning born of wrong view based on our brain, our memory, then our mind will be very quiet and still or silent without thought, because that is your nature. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is your true mind, which is the natural state of silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine from there. Because from that nature within, you become aware. Thought does not arise. But the moment thought arise, you are no longer aware. You are already in the creation process. Your sankhara activity has arise. Your aggregate of mind has arise. That's why you have perception, you have consciousness, you have mental states, you have views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and you can develop feeling and emotion. That is what the human being is all about. That is what the living being is all about. The five aggregate of form and mind. So this part, understand it well and you will progress. So this silent inner awareness will automatically shine forth from the nature within, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within with your nature or essence of mind, or you are lost in thought. You have come out and you have developed the heedless thinking. That's why you get yourself entangled and think that that tiny thought that you arise is you. That egoic mind is you. So this is the reason why living being who don't have this understanding cannot understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha, the awareness base. But they are looking for enlightenment and they don't know what is enlightenment. And they become gullible. Why? Because they believe what people say. If you meditate, you use this method, this technique, this is vipassana. And you do it, one day, you realize, you become enlightened. And most people like to keep it that way. We are popularly accepted and logical, isn't it? One day, you will become enlightened. But that one day, he never tell you when. But the Buddha, in the salutation to the Dhamma, he said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. So no need to wait till after death, or one day. Understand? So all these are the understanding. So the moment you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with all your activity of mind, like thinking, stirring, and reacting to sense experience. Just like the analogy of the sun is always there, so your true nature is always there, and its ray, which is your awareness, is ever shining and radiating. But when the clouds are there, its ray cannot shine through. So similarly, what obscures your true mind from arising or coming out is your mundane mind, understand? And what is your mundane mind? Your thought process, understand? Your emotion, your aggregates of mind. So your various thought process or thought, your various emotion and reaction or stirring of the mind are like cloud obscuring your true nature or true mind from shining forth the awareness. Hence your inability to see things as they are via the direct seeing with your silent mind or true mind. Go back and read through this. Contemplate, reflect, silent your mind and understanding. The moment you understand this, I guarantee you enlightenment. If you understand you cannot do too bad, which means you don't understand. If you understand, you sure can do. True or not? Yeah? So, one paragraph only, although quite long, three-quarter page. Worth the effort or not? Huh? To give it a try or not? If you penetrate your home, then I read on. According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination of Paticca-samuppada, as taught by the Buddha, the first three links are avijja, paccaya, sankara. What is avijja? Ignorant. Because of ignorant, you create sankara activity. And what is sankara activity? The content of consciousness, which is your thought. So dependent on ignorance, the Buddha say, you arise the sankara activity, which is mental activity, mental thinking. The reason being, due to ignorance, you want to know, you want to understand. So what you do? The teacher in the school, you want to understand, you want to know? Go back and think about it. He always tell you to do that. So what is thinking? Thinking is going to the memory, anasana. Where this is your brain. You go to the brain is one of your organ, one of your senses. When you go there and make contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. What is that? That is your thought consciousness. And you become conscious of thinking. The thought consciousness. If it's the eye seeing, the light bulb light up means you become conscious of what you see. We are our human being. We have six sense bases. We have an aggregate that the Buddha called vijnanam or consciousness. And this is what your mind can do. It can make you conscious. Conscious of what you see through your eye. Conscious of what you hear through your ear. Conscious of what you smell, taste, tactile feel, and think through your thought or memory or brain. So this is how the Paticca-samuppada evolve and manifest. Dependent on ignorance, not understanding, wanting to know, wanting to understand, you go and think. Thinking is make contact with the brain. You try to retrieve all your memory. For you to perceive, you need memory, isn't it? You need all the knowledge that you accumulated inside there, your experiences. That's why what is memory? Accumulation of experiences, knowledge, conditioning, and whatever that you have experienced, good and bad. And this one is what the brain is all about. And from the brain, you retrieve whatever you have learned or your conditioning, your belief system, your views, your opinion, and all this you manifest through your mundane thinking. You input as content of consciousness. That's how you perceive. You can perceive my voice. You can perceive the Buddha image. You can perceive everything within this room where there are conditions for the perception to arise. What are the causes and conditions? You need an organ, the eye, that can see. You need the light that can actually give rise to the causes and conditions for the eye to actually create the vision. And you need the mind to also make contact. Then you need the external sense data. So external sense data, sense basis, and the consciousness, these three, when they come to contact, like the physics experiment, it will arise the respective consciousness. It make you conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And that is how you function as a human. So when that thought consciousness arrives, that is vijnana. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha said, avijja paccaya sankara. Then sankara paccaya vijnana. This is your thought consciousness, the pure consciousness before the content go in. Understand? This is what the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. Can follow? You can follow, very good. Means the pure consciousness, without the content, without the brain, the memory to tell you what this thing is. That's why that is the seeing thing as they are. Because the pure perception without the words. That's why in the seeing, the Buddha say, it's only the seeing consciousness, only that consciousness. Nobody inside there. You understand? There is no one to see. That's why sakkāditti arrives when you input the content of consciousness. You think you are a human being. You think you are real. You exist. You think this is what you are. The ego, or what we call the personality. Then from here, you act. I see, therefore I am. This is delusion. That's why the Buddha said, if you have mindfulness and awareness, you can be aware of the pure vijnana, the consciousness. Then you can be aware of the moment the content of consciousness going. And how this content comes to be. That's why everyone is different. Where you are born different, with karmic inheritance or karmic background that are so different. Then you come, the retributive karma, activity karma, affliction karma actually create the causes and conditions for you to go through that type of life. Then you, how you accumulate your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system are all karmically related. Of course, if you have the good karma, you know how to cultivate, then you can also connect back and develop the enlightenment and understand all this. Otherwise, you cannot. So this is how you function as a human. Dependent on ignorant avijja, you go to the brain, you create thought consciousness through making contact with the brain. That's like avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara is thinking. Then it manifests that pure consciousness, vijnanam. After vijnanam arrives, you input the content of consciousness. That is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why that form and mind, nama rūp, is the thought itself. It's not the three period of time. It's not rebirth, consciousness, condition, the what they call the physical body and mind, or the human being is born. So past life, this life, and die, the following life. No, the paticca-samuppada is every moment, every instant. So after this link develop into what we call a form and mind, oh, I didn't finish the whole paticca-samuppada here. Oh, okay, never mind. I think I only work on the first four links. Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya nama rupang. That one, I think, not mentioned here. Never mind. I read through and see. So dependent on ignorance arises sankara activity or mental thinking. Then dependent on mental thinking or mental activity arises the mind or mental consciousness, which is vijnanam. This is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing, or the perception, the pure perception. Yeah. So before the knowing means no perception, no labeling, no concept, no word, nothing. That is, there is no one to see or to perceive, means objective seeing, understand or not? The other type is what? Subjective seeing. There is a subject, I see. Objective means there is no subject. This is what Krishnamurti meant by the observer is the observed. Yeah? Bingfi, now you understand. The observer is the observed. Understand or not? But it's not separate. So when you have the subject as the observer, then you think the observer and the thing you observe is different. Who is the observer? It's the thought, isn't it? What you observe is the content of consciousness, isn't it? That you manifest through your thought, isn't it? How you come to know the world? Through your senses, isn't it? You come to perceive them through your consciousness, isn't it? And what is consciousness? Mental image, isn't it? How real can it be? Now, maybe it brings about the condition for me to explain the other one. This morning we were reading through, you must learn how to see form, to see the unreality of form. Then only can you see beyond form. Remember that section we go through? Yeah? None of you remember. Most of you remember that. How you develop that? You mean it's very difficult to see form? Very easy, through our consciousness, all these external form you can see that. But to see the unreality of form, can you do it? Yeah? That is where the difficulty is. That is where sati is needed. I ask you, all these external form, the table, my vase, this cup, all this paper, book, everything. Is it real? Of course you see real lah. But you can touch, you can feel, you know. And can even see, you know. Color, shape, and form, everything there. You know. Why you say not real? The reason why it's not real is because form is dependent originating. Understand now? Condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. So the unreality of form means what? Form is impermanent. Why? Because it's dependent originating. I ask you now a question. All these things that I describe, including the whole building, how did it arise? Eh? You mean God create? You definitely know it's not God create, isn't it? You think the floorboard that you sit on, no donation come in, temple don't do, you can have it. This table, how it come about? You need the raw material, the carpenter, understand or not? Somebody make it, then put it out for sale, then they bought and offer to temple, pop, come already, arise already. You say exist already. You say real, I own, I paid money for it. Then the Buddha gave a very good analogy, the bullock cart. You heard of the bullock cart? He told the monk, what is that? They say bullock cart. Okay. The monk say, take apart the wheel, the axle, everything. Dismantle all the parts. Then he asked the monk, what do you see? He said, no more bullock cart. Then the Buddha said, assemble it back. The block cut arise again. This is how the Buddha teach. What do you understand from that? The block cut arise because of the parts. Understand or not? You know what are the parts or not? The causes and conditions for it to come together like our physical body. You need all the causes and conditions for it to arise. That's why it's all dependent oriented. All phenomena, everything you come to perceive in this universe is dependent originating, conditional, right? And because of that, they are impermanent. They keep on changing, evolving, decaying, die. Then this table, if let's say somebody steal it, or it get damaged, or stolen, or fire, or what, then the condition no more, then it ceases to be, understand not? So the block card also same. The past you take away, it no longer perform a function. You can no longer create a concept out of it. Then there is no word, nothing. But when you assemble them back, it can perform a function and you give it a name or label it, block card, arise already, exists already. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is all this external form, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real, not what you think. So externally is already not what you think, because this one is dependent originating, condition arising. Without causes and condition, nothing happened. Like our retreat. You think by chance, every one of us here, there are causes and conditions for it to arise there. If Padmasuri, they all don't organize, I don't agree, then there's no retreat. Then if you all not happen to have the causes and conditions to be contacted and you want to put your name there, you won't be here. That's not. All this manifestation and happening cannot happen. Now you understand the nature's law. Very powerful. That's why everything is condition arising, affinity, dependent originating. When you have the awareness nature, you see all this. And all this that I learn is from the awareness nature. I never learn from science or physics. This one I'm not taught in school. Your senses, how you function as a human, the school never teach you. He teach you biology, anatomy, very detailed. But consciousness, they cannot teach. The actual functioning of that thing, they cannot teach. The actual seeing of this thing, they cannot teach. So externally already dependent originating, not so real, then I ask you the next question. How do you know it's a block card? How do you know it's a table? How do you know all this external form? Through your what? Education is one. Of course, through your aggregate of mind, which is the one that know all this. Your perception is there. Your perception perceive. And when it perceive, if you know physics, it's an inverted image up here. Yeah, what we see laterally inverted, but the brain know how to make it upright, understand? Then you like see it exactly. But actually the physics teacher, they will explain to you, light travel in such a way, when it cross your eye, it's laterally inverted. Like you look into a mirror. Whatever is reflected is laterally inverted. But over the eons and eons of evolution, our brain has become very smart. He can see, despite the inverted image. So, now I ask you another question. Externally, already not so real. We are dependent originating. Dependent originating means condition arising phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. Then how you come to know? You know it through your consciousness, understand or not? That perceive, which is the aggregates of mind that brings the external form into your consciousness. And this consciousness is just a mental image, understand not? How real can it be? It's just an image, yo. And you cling onto it, grasp onto it, try to own it, possess it, and quarrel for it, understand not? That's why you cannot see form, the unreality of form, you cannot see beyond form. It will trap you. That's why I say form is unreal. Form is not what you think. That form doesn't know that you call it block card, no, understand? It's your memory, your knowledge, your perception that give that word a meaning. No? So the world is not what you think. No? They are inanimate. No? But this Monday my kepoa, no. Create a lot of duality, word, terminology, and like create the phenomenal world to entice you to, what they call it, what is the other, to lure you, and make it like, wow, existence is beautiful, that's ours. Like everything is so interesting, yeah. Like so enticing, understand, alluring. Especially now, Sui, wait, I finish this part first. There is a word, I hope I can remember. The sensuality in our society or our so-called civilization now. You know, the level of sensuality has gone up so high, you know, because of what? Handphone, AI, technology. You can see whatever you want. Distant object all over the world, so you can see. Sometimes I say you don't have to travel. Save the money. On your Astro, on your TV program, everything is so clear. You go there, must take photos. Very cold. Then sometimes seasick. Sometimes the flight delay and all those things. Then you suffer. Some people actually, as you age, when you go for this long trip, actually it's not easy. And a lot of people suffer. So what I'm trying to explain to you is, when you have the awareness to see all this, the unreality of it, then you will know how to understand life and live life. You will not be deceived by it. And yet, you can make use of it. Understand or not? Like this for my mind. Not me, but related to me karmically. I need to have the understanding to perform my duty. I cannot simply do things. Otherwise, the claw of karma hit back. So all this understanding is very important. I let Sui share.
It's pertaining to the bullock cart example. I have to admit, the first time I came across this analogy in the Buddha Dharma, I couldn't appreciate it because my mind looked at it like, you put it together, it's a bullock cart, you take it apart, it's materials to make a bullock cart. So it's still a bullock cart in my brain. So I then fast forward many years later, now I see the process. The people that took it apart means the thing is so fragile. Everything we see, it just takes one screw loose and the whole thing falls apart. Then the reality goes away. Another thing is the way I saw the world without the sensitivity, like everything is pre-packaged. Apple is available at the supermarket. Yeah, it doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah.
The bullock cart is a resource material provided
you
when you want to
make. Because everything is already there. Already.
Yeah. So I saw a vast difference in the way I perceive things. It's a lot healthier with the Buddha's Dhamma, I must say. That's my sharing.
That's why she starts to realize this after she decides to come back. She realized for something to happen, a lot of causes and conditions must arise, then only it happen or no. That's why she realized whatever happened, you cannot blame anybody. There are causes and conditions behind. So he used the word very good, even the Buddha also never used. We need to embrace everything that arises or happen. It's like my teacher. Only mighty nature rolling by. But she put it in a better way. We need to embrace everything that arises and happens. But this is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. So don't get angry, fearful, and miserable over what happened or what arises. Because these are not a reality. The reality is it happened already, understand? Arise already. Like car accident. You go and blame and scold and argue and get into trouble for what? Do what you have to do. Resolve it amicably and finish. Then that person die means die already. Understand not? Like the Buddha said, whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. What has arisen has already ceased. This one is towards his own children, son. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. See, this is wisdom. You cry for what? The reality is, pass away, form and mind no more. Okay? So, all these are good sharing. Then there's one more thing. Just another blocker analogy. You go to the Zen one. Yeah. You remember the flag and the wheat? You all heard of it before or not? The Zen analogy. Do you know the deep meaning and the real full story? When Hui Ning was with the hunter, he lie low. Then when he came out, the first place he went is Nan Hua Temple, where there were monks and the abbot was there. Then the two Samanera, Nordic monk, they saw the flag move. Then one of them said, "The flag move." Then the second Nordic monk tried to be more smart. He said, "No, Feng Dong, the wind move." So these two were arguing. Then you know what Hui Ning did? He decided to come out and state what he understood. He said, "Your mind move. You can understand her. How you perceive the wind and the flag? Through your mental perception, isn't it? If your mental perception does not move, how can the flag and the wind move?" So what is happening is, Hui Ning, through his poem against Sun Xiu, already know the true mind is not that mind that he's talking about that move, understand? Yet that is the mundane mind. He already realized the nature. But because of his suchness seeing, he can understand their condition and he wants to teach them to move on to the next level. That's why he said, "Your mind move." In my note I share, you cannot see form, the unreality of form, because it's dependent originating and it's just an image through mindfulness and awareness. Then how can you see beyond form? Understand? You must see the unreality, the universal characteristic, the dependent originating nature, not a permanent. Then you can see beyond that form has got no power over you. So these two Nordic monks, they can't even see beyond form. They argue about the flag and the wind. Means form has a lot of meaning. So in order to take them further, he said, "Your mind move." Then you will go and inquire, like I mentioned in my note. Form is perceivable, very gross. You can feel it, touch it, see it, hear it, sense it. But when it comes to mind, no solid thing, no, less tangible. No. So that one is even more difficult to see. Without sati, you cannot see. Understand? No? So if you cannot see form, how can you see mind? That's why you are not a cultivator of the way. You cannot understand. And to see mind, you need the awareness to be aware of it. Then when you see mind, you must also see, like the form, the unreality of mind. That's why the Buddha said the five aggregates of form and mind are empty. Kuan Yin say empty. The Buddha said it's anicchang dukkang anatta. Understand? Not what you think. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta lakana sutta. So, when you understand this, then only you can see beyond mind. So that mind has got no power over you. The phenomenal world of consciousness, the mundane mind, has no power over you. So the Zen story from there carry on. When I tell you the second part, which is the real understanding, then you will understand why Hui Ning say your mind move. It seems after Hui Ning passed away, he got a lot of disciples. They were discussing this flag and the wind. And what happened was they were at a retreat, I think. Yeah. Then there was a lady, a lay person, no? But enlightened already, or no? Penetrated the Dhamma, can understand Hui Ning's teaching, or no? The three hallmarks of no thought, no mark, and no dwelling. So what happened was she can read their mind. You know? So every day what they want to eat, the monks, he know and he prepare the dish. So the monk feel funny. You know. How come they know what we like? You know? Every day. You know. Then on the third day or what, they were discussing this. You know. They cannot understand why Hui Ning say, "Your mind move." Then they were discussing. You know. Then some they understand. Hui Ning already know the nature. 本来无一物吗？何处惹尘埃？ Why he say the mind more? That lady passed by. You know what he say? He just say three words. Where got mind? All become enlightened. No? Yeah. Because the mundane mind is unreal. Understand? No? Where got mind?本来无有何处惹尘埃 All your perception is not direct seeing, it's mundane seeing. That's why they awaken straight away. And this is the real Dhamma that you can penetrate and understand. Can follow? Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I will read on, then hopefully you can develop more understanding. That's why this section is very important.Okay, just now I was on page 65. Okay. Objective seeing, yes. As the true sati is without the observer, here is what J. Krishnamurti came to realize also. There is only an awareness of the phenomena or the impersonal process of dependent origination. No subject behind.No subjective seeing, only objective seeing, arising from that pure awareness nature, or the essence of mind, which is the unconditioned and without thought, which is part of the egoic mind, or as per what the Buddha had often said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see, like the physics experiment.Where they are all conditions arising naturally. Like the physics experiment, you need God to create that light or not? No need, isn't it? When the condition is there, you on the switch, everything in working condition, it lights up. So these are natural causes and conditions and causal phenomena. So this is the true understanding of anatta within the dependent origination teaching.Born of right view, hence no more self-delusion, sakkayaditi. Hopefully you can understand. Go back and really read through, reflect, contemplate and stabilize this understanding. Then when you meditate with this understanding, you awaken very fast. No more doubt. And you become very different. Sui, you want to say something?
I would like to request you to share with regards to Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, the difference between heedless thinking and healthy contemplation.
Okay. Sadhu, let's rejoice. You see, if it's heedless thinking, means what? You don't have Dhamma, don't have Yoniso Manasikara, you are not enlightened yet. That's why you become heedless.And what is heedless thinking? You think without understanding, understand? You don't understand the Dhamma behind, the right view that governs law of karma, that governs life and existence. So because of that, heedless thinking is following the first few links. Never mind, I can still write here.So avijja is ignorant, paccaya sankhara. So the unenlightened one, the puttujana who don't have the Dhamma understanding, this link is very active. Understand? This one is very active. Avijja paccaya sankhara, non-stop. That's why you think a lot, you realize a lot. And when you think a lot, it becomes habitual.And it develop what? Heedless thinking, understand? Where it become habitual, understand? When you develop contemplation, you are not using avijja. Do you understand? You have an open mind, understand? Then you have a creative mind. You know what is a creative mind? Contemplation means there is some form of thinking, but slow.Not heedless and fast thinking, understand? means you cannot control one. The thought keep on arising and passing, arising and passing. But contemplation means you can be in a setting where it's very conducive and it makes you very peaceful, very calm. It's just like a lot of talented people, musician, poet. When they are in a tranquil setting that is suitable for them, they have this creative mind that can allow them to come up with good music. Understand? Or not? Very good poem. You all know all the famous Su Tong Po, isn't it? You know what is the tranquil setting for him? Or not? Ah, when he is drinking. When he drink, he got a lot of... Normally you think drink, drunk, no clarity. This guy can drink or not. And when he drink, he got a lot of clarity. And that stimulates his creativity. That's why he can, inside that state, all the poems just come out. You think this life, past life he has been doing all this. You think Jie Gong, Jie Gong is who? Qi Gong. Yeah. And what he do? He also take dog meat, drink, understand? But he is an enlightened being, understand? So all this, you cannot see externally and come to conclusion, cannot. So what happened is, to have the creativity, you must be in a tranquil setting that is very conducive. Yeah. So like the three types of peace. You remember the Buddha teach the three types of peace. What is the first type of peace? Yeah? seclusion. The Pali word is what? Viveka is... what viveka? Right? There's a word before it. Citta viveka is the second one. The mind in seclusion. The first one is kaya viveka. Means when you renounce as a monk, you have kaya viveka. Then the last one is upadi viveka. You see, these are the type of peace. When you go to a tranquil setting, means when you renounce, you go to the temple, you give up all your relationship with your whatever, parent and all. So you only have the requisite of the monk, a simple life. Then you seclude from the materialistic world. Understand? So that tranquil setting bring about a type of peace. Like you come here. If you know how to silence your mind, meditate, you become very peaceful, very fast, very tranquil. Then no need to work, nothing disturb you. So that type of peace is the first type called kaya viveka. So those poet and talented musicians or talented people, they go to this type of setting is to develop kaya viveka. Understand? Ingbi, can you help me write the word down? Kaya viveka, citta viveka, and upadi viveka. Yeah. Okay, the camera is there. So when you are in that tranquil setting, means you are not heedlessly lost in thought, and so you are not thinking. Then you have clarity, creativity. You can contemplate. You can reflect. And how do you contemplate? The second turning of the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha teach. What did he teach you? The Four Noble Truths, he said, under the second turning, he give you important pointer and emphasis. This first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. That is the pointer. Then from there, you inquire, you contemplate. How can I understand this? That is the inquiry. Then, why did the Buddha say, birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation is suffering. And this is contemplation, understand? So when you are in that creative state, you got kaya vibhika. This is the first level of peace. Means kaya is physical. This is seclusion, physical seclusion. Means you go away from all the noisy people, the city, the chattering and all those things. You go to a quiet place, a tranquil setting. So kaya vivika is how you develop the initial peace. Born of physical seclusion. Born of physical seclusion. Oh, sorry, got a C, yeah. So when you are in that state, you contemplate, you reflect. Then when you contemplate and reflect, you call to mind. When you inquire why is birth suffering, then you recall to mind the birth process. Understand? You may not be a lady, but you can also, through your knowledge, or if you have a wife who delivered before, you can also know and understand many things. Right? So you recall. Then you will know, really, birth is suffering. Why? When they conceive, yeah, that 9 to 10 months before delivery, which is birth, you think the wife or the mother didn't suffer. Those who went through, they know. Yeah? Morning sickness, checkup, your physical become out of shape, you have to buy new clothing to wear and all of that. Then that birth process is really suffering. Like that case, Angulimala, you remember? Abnormal birth. And nowadays, very common, no, I was told. Oh, Sui told me, the classmate doctor, she told her, no, cesarean, very common. Because they are not like my mother's time. My mother can give birth to 9 or 10. No need cesarean, nothing. All very natural. Yeah. And he worked until last day, until bladder burst, only he go hospital. Huh? Yeah, the water bag, sorry. not the bladder, the water bag. I think the lady will know, huh? When you become pregnant, you have a bag inside there. So that one burst. And my mother can wait until that time, and she alone go one, no taxi, at that time. They are tough. Because my mother worked from 4:30 or 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. No rest. Then next morning, wake up early, prepare everything. He cook, he wash, he prepare. Last time, no gas on. Firework, all he buy. So these are the type of generation of mother that can deliver many ones. Now, xiuqia, you know what is xiuqia? Very xiaojie one. Cannot. So what happened is, when you reflect, you contemplate, then through your recollection of the process that lead to birth, you realize there is a lot of suffering. Then when birth happened, what happened? If it's a normal birth, you're happy. Understand? You look forward to what? Become papa. The grandparent look forward to the grandchildren. Then, new moon, full moon, understand? Then after that, buy gift, whole party, understand? Celebration. But what happens if the birth is not normal? And the doctor come and tell you, you must make a choice. You want me to save the mother or the child? Dilemma, understand? And the process is not easy. Then with birth come what? Old age, sickness and death. Understand? And these are not suffering. It's definitely suffering. So when you contemplate and reflect, that's how the answer comes. Then sickness, old age, injury, I add in injury and death. It's also suffering. There's separation. You contemplate, all the answers come out. Okay? Yeah. So this one is the original link lead to heedless thinking. Yeah? Without wisdom is heedless thinking. Because before you have the wisdom, avijja is always there. Understand? Not? But then, even if you have avijja, you have this tranquil setting, you can develop the second turning wisdom of cintamaya panya. Understand? Not? That's how contemplation works. Understand? Not? So you contemplate when you are here. And you know what is citta viveka? Mental seclusion. When you are in your awareness nature, you seclude your mind and stay inside there, understand? Not? That's why this one very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil, understand? Not? But the one that do jhana also same. They seclude their mind inside in jhana, in one-pointedness. They don't want to come out. They build up energy field. And also, citta viveka. But this one is what the Buddha want you to realize, upadhi viveka. This is not mental seclusion, no. This one is seclusion based on wisdom, no. When you have the wisdom, that's why the Buddha is not the Buddha if he's only peaceful when he's at the tranquil setting or in the monastery, understand? No? Or when he is confronted with good, wholesome people and condition. Upadhi viveka means seclusion born of wisdom. This one means suchness seeing. You have developed the wisdom connected to it, and you can have this type of seclusion born of wisdom. Means you can see them, perceive them, understand them, use them, live within the existential world, but you don't suffer. Understand? This is the third phase of Dhamma. Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. This is Pativeda phase. Understand? And this type of peace, nobody can take away from you. Understand? You're born of wisdom connected to your nature. So the Buddha taught all this. And it's very beautiful, very meaningful. Okay, rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, what's the time now? We still have time. Oh, we still got, 9:15, yeah. Supposed to end at 9:15, yeah. Yeah, 9:15, another 20 minutes. Okay, good. So I finished this part. It is delusion that condition the living being to cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, or the mundane mind. And this is the main cause of one's suffering. And because of the first two links of Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination, the law of dependent origination, avijja paccaya sankhara, every moment of consciousness, you will think and stir your mind. Because there is avijja, understand? That's why the link doesn't end. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vinyana, vinyana paccaya nama rupa. And dependent on that nama rupa, the thought, there must be sense basis. That's why nama rupa paccaya salayatana, sense basis. Then sense basis salayatana, dependent on that, arises contact. Understand? Not? Pasa. Then dependent on contact arises what? Feeling. Then craving, grasping. Then the whole mess of suffering, of becoming, sorry. Then the whole mess of suffering. That's how you suffer. That's how the paticca samuppada move. And that one is not a single dimension one. Understand? It's multi-dimension. When you understand, when you have the deep mindfulness, you see it very clearly. Okay? Yeah. So I read on. Avijja paccaya sankhara means every moment of consciousness, you will think and stir your mind. Because of your ignorance. After you input your content of consciousness, your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, habitual tendency cause you to stir your mind. That condition your habitual tendency to think the wrong thought. And this is how one becomes heedless. Heedless thinking. The whole paticca-samuppada. Actually, at the fourth link, it starts already. Understand? At the nama-rupang there. You input the content, the whole thing starts already. So all this is how you understand clearly how you function as a human being. Then you will come to understand clearly who are you? What are you? Then when you have this understanding, self-knowledge, definitely you know how to understand life and live life. Understand not? When you know who are you, what are you, you will not be deceived by the sakayadity anymore. Yeah? You don't grasp onto this five agriya or form and mind anymore. Yeah? You know this is karmically conditioned out. A vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world. And to come to this, you need the karmic nature to actually create the form and mind. Then only you can, from here, use it to cultivate, live life, fulfill your vow, and do whatever you want. And this is the entire understanding of life. And I call this the secret of life. And when you understand the secret of life, you know how to live. That's why the Heart Sutta manifests that understanding. True emptiness, after you realize true emptiness, is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. Can follow? Yeah. That one is very beautiful. I think this time around, we are going in deeper, clearer also. Previous round, we also go into all this. But I think this round, the condition and understanding of Kanyamita is better. That's why I can explain deeper and I can go in with more detail. And you think easy to come out with this short note? Yeah? This two paragraph, no? The whole understanding is there. No? You think I copy? Yeah? It's from my sharing, my talk. They give me the pointer, I edit it and make it like that. No? And that was 2012. No? That's why I say, since the beginning, they invite me to come out until now, I teach the same thing, except in more depth, because over different period, with different condition, different participant, the Dhamma depend on condition, understand? That is like what the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. If there is not because of all these causes and conditions, this Dhamma cannot come out. Well, I cannot choose, understand? Without condition, nothing happened, understand? And everything that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So there are karmic behind. Otherwise, this thing cannot happen. Your good karma, understand? To have this condition. Everyone is born of their karma, heir to their karma conditions. And you are what you are because of karma. So you must understand this clearly. Then thank your good nature that you have such condition to receive such teaching. That's why I say this window, the golden window, don't ever let it slip by. Understand? Otherwise, I tell you, you will regret until no more tears. Alicia, very good. 苦不堪言 苦到讲不出 Okay, very good, thank you. So if there is no wisdom or yonisomanaskara, which is wisdom at every moment of sense experience, then the mind will be conditioned into craving via the link vedana pachyas tanha. Then depending on feeling, craving, condition comes to be. When there is no wisdom or wise attention, yoniso manaskara, at the moment of sense experience, the paticca samuppada move. Understand? That's why finally, it condition grasping, then becoming, then you take birth, jati, then arise the whole mess of suffering. And this is what paticca. And the first time I saw it, I was full of joy. I said, this is what happened to living being. I saw it inside me. And when I had the wisdom, I realized this yoni so manasikara came out and prompted me. Then my mind cannot stir. Then I got more and more space within thought. Because when this understanding is there, thing is just the way it is, living being is just the way they are, condition like that, things will be like that. All this understanding, when they unfold, they are like wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. So at the moment of sense experience, the Dhamma teaching all come up. Sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe Dhamma anatta. Then everything is unreal, dependent originating. That's why the Diamond Sutta, the famous say, Yi qie yu wei fa, zu mong huan pao ying, zu lu yi lu tian, ying zuo lu si guan. All this will prompt you. Spontaneously come out. No need to do anything. Then you cannot stir already. Yeah, everything is just the way it is. Not what you think. No more delusion. That's why enlightenment and awakening is not you see light and become enlightened. It's the direct seeing that trigger of the insight or the wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot free. That's why I always advise Kayamita, always remember when you meditate, you must develop wisdom. We are only wisdom free. Not all the fantastic mind state or meditation. She also went through one. Or the psychic, special phenomena. But luckily he knew that these are deviant samadhi, defilement of insight. The 10 defilement of insight. So he did not cling and did not attach. But he doesn't know that you cannot actually have a mind that seek enlightenment. You strive very hard, no use. That's why you appreciate why J. Krishnamurti say this word. Do you remember? Wherever there is an effort, there is no meditation. Who exert effort? Huh? The thought is there. The ego is there. But if you don't understand the Buddhists, pardon me for saying this, they will say, how can the Buddha teach right effort? No. How to talk to this type of people? Understand, no? They quote the Buddha correct, no? Right effort. Four right efforts, no? Not one. No? But you don't understand. If the thought is the one that strives, you cannot awaken. The last advice of the Buddha, apamadena sampadeta. You know what is the meaning? Strive on with, which means what? Without heedfulness, don't strive, no? Understand, no? Strive on with heedfulness, no? You got heedfulness, no? Don't have, you go and strive. The thought is striving, understand, no? So the meaning is very deep, very penetrative. So before we have the understanding, all this very natural, very normal. We are at that point of time you don't understand. Your mind is like that. You will think like that. And we can see how we grew up. When we are young, our views are different. Our conditioning are different. Our whatever understanding is here. But as we grew up, we accumulate more understanding. I use the word understanding, not more knowledge. More knowledge make you what? Smart. Rigid. And also what? Cunning. You got a lot of knowledge, then egoic. Understand? There is a natural consequence of a person that don't have wisdom but knowledge. Knowledge bind, the Buddha say. The Mahayana Sutta is very good, the Pure Land teaching. He said got two types of obstacles that prevent wisdom. Suo zi zhang, you heard of it, no? Fan nao zhang. I think Michael, who knows Mandarin? Kong Chai know Mandarin. You will understand it. Suo zi zhang means what? Knowledge bind. Whatever you know, that's why Krishnamurti say, you can maybe confirm. I think KC, sorry, not KC, Beng Fi. You know what Krishnamurti say? The most dangerous person in this world is what? The one who say, I know. Understand or not? Why? He said nothing to know. All your knowing comes from what? Your memory, understand? Which is your knowledge, perception. You must have wisdom to understand things. That's why he said the most dangerous person is the one who say, I know. That is 所知障, you know too much, you got knowledge. The other one is what? Ah, 烦恼障. When you worry, is it an obstruction? Definitely you are. Why do you worry? You have the evil root of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Otherwise, your mind cannot be restless. Understand? That's why they know. When you have 烦恼, means worry, born of fear and anxiety, all those things, or the evil roots are there. That's why it will trigger off what they call obstruction for you to receive truth, where it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So all these teachings are there, but hardly anybody knows how to piece them together. You think Krishnamurti teach differently? You think Pure Land teach differently? No, they are the same. Strive on with heedfulness. Don't strive before heedfulness. Understand? And you must know the five spiritual faculties. Virya is not effort. Do you know what is virya? Under the Noble Eightfold Path, what is right effort? Ingbi will know. Vayama, sama vayama. He never used the word sama virya, understand? But virya is not vayama. That's why a lot of English book, the Theravada, they say that virya is right effort, no? Effort, no? You all know about it, right? Yeah, they also Sunday school teacher, I think they know. Definitely they know. So, hopefully with this clarification, people can understand. Okay? I think we are almost time. Okay. So, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, before we do the closing puja, I think, do you all have anything that you want to do? You want to chant your Da Bei Zhou? I think we chant the Great Compassionate Mantra, Da Bei Zhou, followed by Sing Jing, Song. Jiao a song lai. You just turn to the end page of your normal chanting book, not the retreat. Then you will have the wordings all there. It's on page 19. You can use my E1. Okay. For those who know how to chant, we chant together. Yeah, this is a very good mantra. It's Great Compassion. Great Compassion Mantra. Okay, I start the thing by ringing.
Namo Da Bei Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Da Bei Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Da Bei Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Nam mô Hỡ lai ta na tua lai ya ye. Nam mô a li Po lu chê ti Sư po la ye. Pu thi sa to po ye. Mo ha sa to po ye. 摩诃迦如尼迦耶安萨婆拉法依苏丹那丹谢南摩悉吉利陀依蒙阿利耶婆卢揭谛释佛拉楞陀婆南无那赖谨墀悉利摩诃盘陀沙弥婆萨陀欧输恒阿斯云萨婆萨陀南无婆萨陀南无婆伽摩法特哆耽支他唵阿婆卢悉卢迦帝迦罗帝依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵萨婆萨婆摩来摩来摩悉摩悉利陀喻俱卢俱卢伽摩嘟噜嘟噜发射耶帝摩诃发射耶帝陀来陀来帝利尼释佛来耶遮来遮来摩摩发摩来摩帝利依悉依悉实乃实乃阿来僧佛来舍利发僧佛来舍耶呼噜呼噜摩来呼噜呼噜悉利娑来娑来悉利悉利苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶摩提耶护陀耶弥帝利耶那赖谨墀帝利舍利乃婆耶摩来萨婆诃悉陀耶萨婆诃摩诃悉陀耶萨婆诃悉陀喻依室盘那耶萨婆诃那赖谨墀萨婆诃摩来那赖萨婆诃悉来僧阿穆揭耶萨婆诃萨婆摩诃阿悉陀耶萨婆诃遮吉兰阿悉陀耶萨婆诃波陀摩揭悉陀耶萨婆诃那赖谨墀盘揭赖耶萨婆诃摩婆利僧揭赖耶萨婆诃南摩诃赖耨那多赖耶耶南摩阿利耶婆卢揭谛室盘那耶萨婆诃安悉殿多曼多赖萨多耶萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨 萨，心生般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。舍利子，色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色。受想行识，亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无明亦无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智亦无得亦无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故，知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I want to chant one more, the Theravada one. This one is, I think, for blessing. Yes. Page 14, turn to page 14. Blessing and sharing of merits. Then at the same time, towards the end, we will end our that puja chanting, the akasata, all those things, means seeking forgiveness and making aspiration. Page 14, normal chanting book, not the retreat, normal chanting book. Can you all find? We follow Ingbi. The Pali chanting very good.
Sabbidiyo vivacantu sabbarogo vinasatu mate bhavantu antarayo suki digayuko bhava bhavatu sabbamangalam kantu sabba devata sabba buddha nubhavena sada sotti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata sabba dhamma nubhavena sada sotti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata sabba sangha nubhavena sada sotti bhavantu te nakatta yatta bhutanam papangahanivarana parittassanubhavena hantu te saṃ upadave sabbe buddha balappatta paccekānanca yaṃ balaṃ arahantānanca tejena rakkhaṃ bandhami sabbaso.
Okay, now we share merits, starting with the devas, which are our usual what we call closing puja. Page 15. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anodantu sabba sampati siddhiya didang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo deyang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asattu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mahame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.